If you have your Bibles, go over to Psalm 78. We're going to get on worship here. Really, this is still worship. But go over to Psalm 78. We're going to go down to verse, I think I kind of touched on this last week, but I want to touch it again. When you're talking about how faithful God is, he'll always move. Amen. The thing is, you got to remember what he's done before. You got to remind yourself, and that's what worship is all about. Go down to verse 40. Psalm 78. I didn't give this to you, Devin, but I just heard instruction from the Holy Ghost, so I'm just following his lead. Verse 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? He's talking about the children of Israel. They were leaving Egypt. He had brought them out with a mighty hand. And now he's taking them to the promised land. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. How many of us are limiting God? They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. How he had brought his signs and wonders in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. And he had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He's talking about the people that were in Egypt. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also the increase unto the caterpillars and the labor unto the locusts. God is destroying the enemies of the Jews. He destroyed their vines with hail, their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to the hot thunderbolts. He cast them upon fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger and spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence. And smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of all their strength, in the tabernacles of Ham. But now get this, verse 52. But made his own people go forth like sheep. This didn't touch the Jews. The things I just read, they did not touch the Jews. The things is this. So God, why did you send the hurricane? Wrong question. God didn't send hurricanes. And let me say one more thing. God doesn't allow hurricanes.
Amen.
God doesn't allow them. Now, the thing is this, what we said last week was, the thing is that when you're going through these tests and trials, God begins to reveal to you what's in your heart. And when you see what's in your heart, you need to start getting in there and getting rid of it. Because what you're doing is you're forgetting and you're limiting. You're forgetting the things that God has already done. I thought that was my phone. And you're forgetting the Holy One of Israel. Okay? Tonight, we're going to look. I would title this message as a picture of worship in heaven. So if you have your Bibles, go over to Revelation chapter 4. And we're going to spend a few minutes, not many, but we're going to spend a few minutes. And Vivian, I appreciate you flowing in the Holy Ghost like that.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you bring up Revelation 4 when you get a chance, please? This is what worship looks like in heaven. So the thing is that I believe when Jesus spoke to the disciples in John chapter 4, when he was talking to the woman at the well, he had this in mind. In Revelation 4:1, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, as it were, a trumpet taking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things that must be hereafter. So John is now in the spirit. We don't know if he's having an open vision or if he's actually been taken to heaven, but I believe he's having open vision. Verse 2, please. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, the thing is that the opening scene here, if you will, It's depicting the one that sits on the throne. Now, he's not talking about excluding Jesus or excluding himself. He's talking about they're one. They're one. So the thing is that he says, behold, the throne was set in heaven and one sat on the throne. When you begin to worship God, your attention should go toward the one that sits on the throne. Not on yourself, not on your problems, not on your testing and your trials, but to the one that sits on the throne. Verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. You know, there are different organizations, I'm not going to name the name, that has tried to take the rainbow and said that it's now theirs. You can't take that from God. So I believe when I see that rainbow and they use that rainbow, that's God saying that I'm after them. I'm pursuing them. They don't realize it, but I got a hook in their jaw. And instead of us bucking and fussing Christians, what we need to do is say, we should go, God, bring them on in. And if I can begin to pray, which is what we're going to be doing in November the 9th and the 11th, we're going to be teaching you how to intercede for your loved ones, how to intercede over this nation, how to really hook up with God and begin to see things move. Listen, Jesus, the church needs intercessors. Amen. We need intercessors. There's too much to get done. And we're not going to do it in these last days with all the division and strife that's in the church. I believe unity is going to come when we begin to intercede. And I'm not talking about we should come together and intercede, but you should be interceding individually. All right, so I digress. Verse 4, please. And round about the throne were 24 seats. So there are 24 seats round about the throne. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crown of gold. Now these are the humans that now have glorified bodies. Part of this 24, part of this 24 elders are part of the 12 apostles. The other ones would probably be some of the great prophets. I don't know. Okay. I'm sure Elijah may be there. I'm sure Enoch may be. I don't know. But my point is that these are glorified men and women. It's what I want you to see. That they're sitting on their throne, which is around the throne of God. Now, the thing is, why am I painting this picture? Because when you begin to worship, I want you to see this. I want you to know what's happening in heaven, and I want you to begin to connect with that picture. Because I'm going to show you in Ephesians 2, chapter 6, the Bible says, we have been what? Seated in heavenly places. Why do you think you're there? Why do you think you've been seated there? To join in with the heavenly host. And to begin to sing praises unto our God. Amen? Amen? So I believe when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and he was explaining the worshiping God, I believe this is what he was trying to get across to her. But remember, they had not been born again yet. So what did Jesus say? There's many things I want to tell you, but you can't what? You can't stand them. Now, I'm going to say this. If you are not one that spends time in praying in the Spirit and have been spending time in private worship, you're going to find some of these things hard to comprehend because your natural mind just can't comprehend it. It has to be comprehended by your spirit, man. The Holy Ghost has to begin to reveal these things to you. This is why Christians will not grow into disciples until they spend time with God. Folks, I want to get that across to you. There is no other way to grow. You can go to every seminar. You can go to every training school. You can do everything you want to do. You can have I was teasing Ricardo this morning. He came to one of our meetings, and he had a Bible. literally that thick. I said, man, I ain't seen a Bible that big before. Well, you can carry around a Bible that big, but it doesn't get you close to God. I'm teasing. I'm not being serious here now. But you become close to God by spending time with him. And this is why we've been spending time in worship. When we come back from Tulsa, we're going to talk about worship defeats poverty. Amen. You don't want to miss that one. It's going to be about 4 or 5 sessions long. Don't want to miss that one. Wow. There is not a person in here. If you begin to worship God, your needs will be met. Amen. Because the thing is this, there's not a shortage of money. There is not a shortage of money in the earth. And I'm going to show you many times when Jesus says, well, I think she even alluded to this afternoon, be not concerned what you'll eat or drink or how you shall be clothed. Amen. Now, that does not mean you get to go home and watch all the soap operas and go, God, fill up my bank account. That's not what that means. Right. It doesn't mean that. Mm-hmm. It means I'm spending time and he's changing me, because what's keeping me from God is not, it's not that God is keeping himself from me. It's the fact that I have a flesh, and that veil of flesh is keeping me from going into him and believing what I need to believe for God, for my finances. That's really your problem. Amen. That's really the church's problem. Mm-hmm. Listen, if the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, we got to do some right believing. Amen. I promise you that. Let me go on. Okay, so round about the throne, there are 24 seats, and upon these seats, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, which is their glorified bodies, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, I'm not promising every born-again child of God is going to have a crown of gold, but what I am promising you this, you need to work, you need to spend time with God like you deserve one.
Amen.
Those crowns of gold are not given because they gave out 100,000 tracts. Mm-hmm. They're not given because they prayed on their knees for 4 or 5 hours a day. They're not given because they read their Bibles through and through every year. They're not given because they went based upon their church attendance. They're not given because they had some of the biggest meetings in the world. They're given because they spent time with God. And I believe what he is showing us here is the fact that that's how these men and women, actually men, are being rewarded. Now, ladies, don't get your dandruff up. I ain't preaching none of that, but you can see it for yourself. It's just 24 elders. Now, maybe some of them are ladies. I don't know. I'm not going to go there. Verse 5, please. Now, here's where people get concerned. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. I mean, can you imagine when the children of the Jews, God descended, I think, on Mount Orem back in the Old Testament days, and there was thundering and lightning and all that kind of stuff going on. They said, we don't want to talk to him. Moses, you go talk to him. He's got too much going on. Listen, why didn't they want to talk to him? It was fear what created the wall or separation. But listen, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. What do you think is in heaven that could harm you? But I believe what you're going to hear is voices of authority. You're not going to be up there negotiating with, but you know, God, I think we should move the organ over here. And I think the angels ought to be on the east side. No, you're going to hear lightnings and thunderings and voices of authority. And you're going to go, I give you praise. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are what? The 7 spirits of God. Now, I got to do some praying about that. I got to do some praying about that one. What are the 7 spirits of God? Only spirit I know is the Holy Ghost. But here it clearly says there are 7 spirits of God. Now, isn't that something to behold? 7 spirits of God. So there's, say again. There's a whole lot going on in heaven. Now, go on down to verse 6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Now, what do you think that is? I believe that's us. I believe that's the born-again children of God. I believe we're now, we've become transparent as purifying gold. And I believe we're the ones that are out. These are the saints of God that are worshiping God right now. And we're going to join them in this sea of glass. That's just my interpretation of that. I'm not saying it's right. And listen, folks, when we get talking about Revelation, I don't think anybody knows the accurate depiction of it or what's really going on. I think we're all doing the best we can to try to figure it out. Okay? But I believe that that crystal is the saints of God. And I believe they're there doing something, and we're going to see what they're doing. And in the midst of the throne, now we're going to get, interesting. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne, there are four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now get this. You've got the throne of God in the center of this universe, I'll call it. It's heaven. The throne of God is there. And around this throne are 24 elders, but around or inside that circle of 24 elders, there are four beasts. Now, I know I did, thinking that only angels were in heaven. Not so. They're beasts in heaven. And these beasts are kind of weird looking. Now, we're going to see here in a minute, these beasts look kind of strange. But now, what we call strange, heaven calls normal. See, the thing is that the world has twisted our point of view of what these beasts should look like. But the Bible calls them beasts. See, we think that the only thing in heaven are just angels. But there are men with glorified bodies. There's angels, and there are beasts. God created more than just angels. So when we say one third of the angels fell, none of these beasts fell. And these are some powerful, powerful dudes. They don't play games. They're serious. Go on to verse 6-7, please. And first the beast was like a lion. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. The third beast the face of a man. And the fourth beast was a flying eagle. Now, many people think that this is Jesus' dominion. It represents his rule and reign. The first one, like a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's going to reign. That's who he is. It reflects his nature. The second one, the beast, like a calf, that's his sacrificial part of him. He laid down his life. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He was sacrificed for our sins. And so that these beasts remind him, or they are there representing what he did on the earth. The third beast was like a man. It represents his humanity. We can be equal to Jesus' humanity, but we'll never be equal to him in his deity. Isn't that good? I like that. I like to say that. I thank God I can be equal to him in his humanity. Praise God. Whatever he did on the earth, I can do. So there's a beast who looks like a face of a man. And then the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Can anybody tell me what that's about?
Power.
Huh?
Power.
You say flower?
Power.
Power? Close?
Yeah.
Anybody else? It represents his spirit.
Spirit?
His spirit. Or you could probably say his power too. It represents the spirit. So the thing is this. You have all of these beasts before the throne of God. Now, what are they doing? They just sitting there hanging out? They having a good time? They're going, hey, God, how you did over there? Hey, elders, how y'all doing over there? Oh, I'm a little bit higher than y'all. First of all, that is not spoken about in heaven. Nobody is greater and nobody is lesser. This is the reason why we love going to the prayer center every year. Because when we go to the prayer center, we see a picture of a church where there's nobody trying to be a big eye and nobody trying to get all the attention. Everybody's just kind of on the same level. There's no little you, none of that. You see the love of God just being perfected in all these men and women. It's, I mean, we see a couple of instances, but I'm just saying amongst the seniors, the elders, the pastors, they're all just prefacing one another. And they give of their time. I mean, man, they'll talk to anybody. It's not like, you know, when I first went up there, man, I was like, that's Dave Roberson. Don't want to touch him. But that's not so. I mean, if Eric was here, Eric has gone up there on his own before, and he just kind of had a little mini meeting with Dave Roberson. I think the last time you guys went, didn't y'all have a meeting or have a luncheon with Gary Carpenter? Isn't that right? So these guys are just men and women. They're just ordinary men and women. And the thing is that I want to point out this, is that in heaven, that's the same way heaven is. It's not ordinary. They know they're powerful, but they don't exercise their authority over you in that way as we do here on the earth. You know, okay, he's God. I ain't going to mess with him. You know, unless you want to be like Lucifer, I guess. You know, say the wrong thing and get booted out. But the bottom line is they know that he's God. So that we got these four beasts, and what are they doing? Verse 8. And the four beasts, each of them had six wings about him. Six wings. Now, can you imagine a creature with six wings? Six wings. Now, it gets even, what we would say, it gets even weirder. And they were full of eyes within. They had eyes all over them. They got eyes all over. In other words, when they fly around that throne, they never miss looking at God. They never miss him. They've always got their eyes on him. Now watch. Now something about to happen. But they're watching God. And listen, these are very, very intelligent beings. I don't think God would have some knuckleheads hanging around his throne. These are very, very intelligent beings. Can anybody answer this question? Why did God redeem fallen man, but God won't redeem the fallen angels? That used to bother me a lot until I got the answer. Why are you redeeming man? And one of the angels said, who is man that you're so mindful of him? I promise you, that angel had that same thought in mind.
But we were created into his image, yeah. Right?
What? Every angel, God oversaw their development and creation. Every single one of them. Not a one was created. However, with the human race, you were procreated. In other words, after Mary, after God created Adam and created Eve, God didn't oversee every creation of every being. They were left for us to do. So God is saying, listen, I feel responsible. So I'm going to have a sacrifice. I'm going to give you a second chance. But the angels, nah, they know me well. They're right here beside me. They understand me. Lucifer knew that God didn't play that. He knew that. He knew God wasn't going to give him a second chance. But Lucifer convinced himself, listen, you know what? Maybe he's been around 10 minutes. Maybe he got here 10 minutes before I did. Maybe I do have more power than him. See, he questioned God. And God created him. There's a portion, I believe it's in Isaiah, it says that he created him and he'll be the one to take him out. God's like, leave him to me. I got his end in mind. I'm the one that created him. Jesus is the one that created him. He was created by God. Now sometimes your mind goes, well, why would God create the devil? God didn't create the devil. God created Lucifer. Lucifer. He was the highest ranking angel. He was right beside God. He used to be God's boy. I call him God's boy. And one day he got the big head and he realized, or he thought, listen, I think I can buck God.
He used to be the worship leader.
He did. But he was one of the most powerful angels in heaven at that time. We think that Michael and Gabriel are powerful angels. Lucifer was more powerful than them. Okay? But he fell. So the bottom line is, God didn't, he didn't oversee your creation because you are procreated, meaning you came from another person. But God created every individual angel. Now let me ask you a question. What are angels made out of? They are made of an eternal substance called spirit. And that spirit will never die. What are you made out of? Spirit. And you'll never die. There's a teaching going around by a very educated man. I think his name is Fudge. If you get a chance, watch the movie they made of him. But this man proved that once we die, we are dead. There's nothing left. And there are a lot of people believing this.
Hindu people believe that.
See? Not so. You are made of an eternal substance called spirit. It will not die. You will live eternity someplace, and you will spend eternity where your spirit resembles the most. We're in Revelation, so I'm going to let it fly. Okay, so now watch what they're doing. They are full of eyes within. Now get this next statement. They rest not. Now these beings were created billions of years ago. Billions of years ago. And they've been flying around this throne and they don't rest. Now us human beings, men after the first double shift, God, I need a break. I let down earth and get breaks, God. What's going on here? But these, they said, they rest not day and night. Now let me ask you a question. If I ask you to come up here and say, holy, 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 how long would you say holy, 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 holy? How long would you say that? Most of you say it for like about 2 or 3 minutes and you get bored. These folks, these beings, these beasts, they never rest. Day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. Who was, who is, and is to come. Now, I believe that's for us, because I believe in eternity, there is no was. There's just an is. And there is no to come. There's just is. They live in eternity. Now, how many of you were here one night when I told you that? Maybe I didn't tell them. I think I said this to you, that if you had loved ones that died, and let's say they died when you were young, do you realize they will not have aged as much? Mothers that have lost children, babies, you'll raise those babies in heaven. See, you think you've been down here for 40, 50, 60 years. You know how long they've been in heaven? 3 or 4 minutes. See, time doesn't go by like there does in heaven as it does. Actually, there is no time in heaven. It's eternity. Amen. And the thing is, you see us men with no hair, white hair, gray hair, listen, all that will be changed. Listen, we will no longer have to worry about these little pouches that we carry around down here, Lewis. All right? We won't have to worry about that anymore. All right? All that, because there's no such thing as aging. Body parts don't wear out. We don't get old. So this is why these beasts are continuously crying, saying, holy, 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 and they've been doing that since their creation. And I'm saying it's been over billions of years ago. They never get bored. Now, why do they never get bored? What is it about them that they never get bored? Because I guarantee as humans, we go around and throw them 4 or 5 times and say, look, God, it's getting kind of old. Because every time they go around the throne, they see a part of God they've never seen before. They always see something different. And the thing is this, why do they say holy, holy, holy? Because they see him. They're so close to him. They see how perfect he really is. Now the thing is this, this is going on in heaven. This is why I want you to spend time worshiping God so you can realize you can begin to see God for who he is. God is not trying to restrict you from seeing who he is. He wants you to know who he is, but you've got to leave the flesh behind. You have to proceed. You have to worship him in spirit. What about in spirit? There's no distance or time in that realm. There's no, I'm tired. There's no, I wish it would stop. Listen, once you begin to worship God, after a while, you'll want to worship God and you won't want to stop. You'll have to go, God, I have a thing called a job. And they expect me to be there tomorrow morning. And if I don't get some rest, I'm not going to get there, at least with a good night's sleep. But then there are times when you'll worship God and he'll refresh you and you will think, I don't need sleep. But you do now. You do. You do need rest. You do need rest. There's been pastors that have been under the anointing and they think that they're invincible and preach sometimes, 365 days a year. You can't do that. Okay? The body was not designed for that. God knows that. And God realizes he'll push you. God wants you to get out there and preach the gospel. But then again, he doesn't want you to come home early either. Amen? So the thing is this. These beings are crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And they've been saying that for billions and billions and billions of years. This is the picture in heaven. Give me see verse 9, please. And when those beasts give glory, now see the thing is, when they're giving glory to God, when they're worshiping God, what do you think the 24 elders are doing? They're going la 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 la. Look at them. They've been doing this since we got up here. I wonder if they're going to get tired. Do we want to need a break? What are they doing? Well, watch what they're doing. When these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, verse 10. The 24 elders fall down. When you get to heaven, the first thing you're going to do is fall on your face. You're going to fall down, Jack. You're not going to sit there going, huh, so this is heaven. Yeah, I'm glad I'm up here. Glory be to God. No, there's going to be so much of God's glory in your face. You're not going to be able to stand it because you're not used to that. But if you'll begin to worship God now, you'll get used to it. You'll begin to understand it. And when you hit the ground, you won't be thinking, I wonder why I fell down. You'll be thinking, this is the power. Now, here's what I want to get across to you. When the angels, when the beasts begin to worship God, it begins simultaneously. The elders begin to worship God with them. Now watch what they do when they worship God. The Bible says, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying what? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. They worship him. So the thing is this. Here's what I want to get across to you. Just because you're worshiping God in your front room, you're not really in your front room. You are joining in with the heavenly host, and they're beginning to worship God. You're joining in with their worship with them. You're joining into that worship. This is the flow that you want to learn to get into. This is the image you want to learn to have. You want to begin to imagine, I am a part of heaven. I belong there. As far as God's concerned, you are a citizen in heaven. You're not a citizen of Houston, Texas, or United States of America. You are a citizen in heaven. You're in a foreign land.
Amen.
You're an ambassador that's on a mission.
Amen.
But your headquarters is home, is heaven. That's your headquarters. And you've got to start thinking like that. You got to start relating to God like that. So when the hurricane's coming, you're thinking, I'm going to lose my house. No, you're thinking, maybe we're going home today. Maybe we're getting out of here tonight. I don't know. Maybe it's time to go. But see, the thing is, if you're more tied up with your possessions, where is your heart? You're tied here. We got to somehow get the church connected to heaven.
Amen. That's right.
We got to get it connected to heaven.
Yeah.
That's where our home base is.
Amen.
I mean, the thing is, if I was over in India, if I'm an ambassador for the United States, I don't eat Indian food as I want to. I eat American food. The property, the land that I live on is not considered India. It's considered the United States of America. So the thing is this, God looks at you the very same way. You are a citizen of heaven and not a citizen of this world.
And you have to earn your citizenship.
Honor your what?
Citizenship.
Amen. Amen to that. Now, let's see here. I want to say this. That these beings are crying holy and holy is a powerful statement about the Lord's sanctification, his devotion to total obedience, and the rejection of any sin in any form are basic to seeing him as he is. You're not going to be able to practice sin and spend time with God. It's not going to happen. It don't work like that. You're right. Because we are created for his pleasure, there is nothing more fulfilling or exhilarating than worshiping him. In heaven, before his throne in glory, it is impossible not to worship him. It's impossible not to worship God. So if you thought you were going to go to heaven and get on a nice little pillow-like cloud and get you a violin and start playing the violin and float around in heaven, you got the wrong image of heaven. You got the wrong image of heaven. That is not heaven. That is something that a man made up showed you on TV, and you got it in your brain. And let me tell you one thing. The devil doesn't have a pointed tail and pointed and horns. Okay? That's just man's imagination. But your worship is meaningful to him. But listen to this. It's meaningful to him in heaven, but it is more meaningful when we go through life against the oppositions of the hordes of hell. We only see him by faith, but we must still worship him. Therefore, our worship here in this life can touch him more than it can in heaven, where we cannot help but to bow down and worship him. Your worship means more to God in the earth than it does in heaven. Many of us are going to be sad we didn't worship God while we're in the earth. Many of us are going to be sad when we get to heaven and we begin to see all the things that we were done and we fell short of, and we see Hurricane Harvey, and there we were watching television and not giving God praise. Don't shout it down now. There we were going through all kinds of tests and trials, and we were worrying up all night long instead of spending time worshiping God.
Amen.
So, don't waste your trials, but rather worship him constantly, offering a thanksgiving and praise that he deserves. And when we do this while we're facing all that we have, it becomes a witness even to the principalities and powers that the Lamb prevailed over. When you begin to worship God, it becomes a witness against the principalities and powers. They are all in. They're serious about this thing. And listen, the devil knows the easy marks. He knows those people that are not close to God. But it doesn't mean he doesn't touch the ones that are close to God. He'll come and rattle all of our cages. But the bottom line is this. You should be a hard case for the devil.
Amen.
He shouldn't just walk around going, okay, I think I'll take that one today. No, he ought to go. Now, last time, John Osteen used to have this little joke. He was walking his little demons down his neighborhood. And the little demons, he would say, now you go in that house and create all this confusion. And you go in this house and you create arguing and fussing and strife. And you go in this house and create a divorce. And you go in this house and create an affair. And they walk by John Osteen's house. And the little demon goes, I want to go in there. And the devil goes, no. You don't want to go in there. He said, why not? He said, because I went in there about 2 years ago, and that man beat me senseless. You don't want to go in there. Well, that's the way you ought to be.
Amen.
The devil ought to come by your house and go, I don't want no part of that house. So in heaven, we see people with glorified bodies worshiping him, that they are the highest authorities in heaven. Those 24 elders, they're the highest authorities in heaven. They're high authorities in heaven, yet they spend time worshiping God. They're seated around the throne, clothed in white robes. They have crowns of gold in their heads. And as they worship him, they cast their crown before the Lord. The four living beings and the highest elders all worship and give him glory and honor because all things exist in him because of his will, because in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. Now, I want to get down to seated with him in the next 5 minutes. We are called not only to see his throne as we obey the voice to come up here. See, there's a voice that God has that says, come up here. All of us are being called, come up here. All of us are being called as born again children of God, come up here. Come on up. You're not restricted, saints of God. He wants you to come on up. But we are called to sit with him on his throne, Ephesians 2:6. This begins with seeing his throne by the Spirit. That's what I'm trying to give you this image tonight. Let your sanctified imagination begin to recall the things that we talked about. Recall the one that sits on the throne. Recall he gets all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And don't get it twisted. He doesn't send hurricanes. He don't send floods. There's no darkness in him at all. 1 John 4:7, I believe it is. There's no darkness in him at all. In other words, where would he get sickness and disease? Where would he get a flood? Where would he get a hurricane? Where does he get these things? He doesn't create these things. So why ascribe this to him? This is not who he is. See, those that do that don't know who he is. When we hear the insurance company says it was an act of God. No, it was an act of the devil. Let's get it straight. Yes.
I have many questions. Does he allow it?
No.
That's what most people
ask me. No. So how would he allow your home to be wiped out but not mine? Or vice versa? Why would he do that? Would he be called a respecter of persons now? Mm-hmm. Is he a respecter of persons? Mm-hmm. No. But now we just read Psalm 78. We see all his power. Where does that power reside now? Now, he got upset with them, and he destroyed some of the Jews. But why won't he destroy you? Come on, think now. Why can't you be destroyed? Why can't you be destroyed? Well, let me ask you a question. Wasn't he mad at them? Wasn't he upset with them? What has happened since then? Jesus has died. Jesus has quenched the anger of an angry God.
Amen.
He'll never be mad at you. Now, he may be displeased because you don't obey him.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll never get to the point to where he'll say, I'm going to destroy you.
No.
He doesn't do that.
Amen.
He doesn't do that. So, no, I would say emphatically, no, God does not allow the hurricane.
Amen.
No.
I agree.
God does not allow cancer. God does not allow sickness and disease. That's not who he is. The thief's M.O. is quite obvious. What is his M.O. in John 10:10?
Kill, steal, and destroy.
And then the following one is Jesus' M.O. Well, how can I be having life more abundantly if he's destroying me and my family? You know, it goes back to the old saying with Job. People think, well, God sick the devil on Job. No, he did not. Go back and read that. He did not do that. Okay. But we're called to sit with him and to abide in his authority. This must be real and practical. Like all biblical truths, we have become, that have become life to us. And we read Psalm 78 and how it eliminated the Holy One of Israel. The Lord is almighty and all powerful. And we're kind of answering your question now. He can do whatever he pleases as far as power is concerned. Power is concerned. He has the power. He has purposely limited himself in some ways, requiring that we have faith in him before he will move on our behalf. How many have asked God to do things and it just took him a long time to get it done? And you're thinking, God, what's wrong? What's wrong? What happened? Why did God wait so long? Huh? Why did God wait so long to bring your promise into fruition? Well, that's the wrong question. It wasn't God, it's you. God's doing all that he can. Listen, God preferred to stop the hurricane in the Atlantic Ocean. He preferred to stop it way out there before he got to the Caribbean. But you know what? There wasn't enough people interceding and praying. You know why? Well, I can tell you right now, half of the body of Christ was beating up on Joel Osteen on Facebook. And you're telling me? Now, I'm not preaching Joel Osteen, and I'm not trying to defend him. But I'm just saying, there's the body of Christ. We're just destroying each other on Facebook.
Amen.
Why? And you want to know why we don't have power? Because we're too divided.
Amen.
We're too divided. We judge somebody before we knew all the facts. And the fact of the matter is, we had no business judging anybody. And let me tell you this. Do you know where most of this stuff started? From the secular crowd. And the Christians just piled on. And the thing is this. So how can we say we've got the power of God? No, it's been fragmented. It's been fragmented. Okay, you can't have division and strife and expect God to begin to do these things. So again, the reason why God hasn't healed certain people, the reason why God hasn't delivered your loved ones, is because he's doing all that he can right now to do it. And he's trying to show you what's in your heart. And when you pray and you don't see an answer instantaneously, you ought to go, okay, let me go to the throne. Let me go give you praise. Until I find what's wrong, what's in me that's got to come out.
John 17:22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they might be one, as we are one.
We weren't big on one this last month. We should continually seek to see him, who he is, and where he sits. See, through private worship, I want you to continuously seek to see who he is and that he is the one that sits on the throne above all powers or authorities. Meaning, he don't send hurricanes. Meaning, he don't kill your children. Meaning, he ain't creating destruction in your lives. No, he wants you to see him as a good God. And if you spend time in private worship, all of that mindset that you have, those questions that you would have, why hadn't God answered my prayer? God answers every prayer instantaneously. He has the yes, and we are the amen. I'm wrapping up here. I'm about to close. How would our lives be changed if we remember the power of God when facing every challenge that comes to us and pray with faith for his intervention? What would happen if we stopped limiting God by remembering his power and started releasing him and his power into the earth by always seeing him as he is now? In other words, he is for me. He is my God. He has all power. All power has been given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth. He has all power. And if I spend time with him, he will teach me how to stop these things in my life. We would begin to live our lives in the most extraordinary ways. So therefore, we have a call to worship. In John 20, in John 4, verses 21, Jesus is explaining about private worship. And as I stated earlier, our worship here on the earth will touch him more than it will heaven, than it will in heaven, where we cannot help but to bow down and give him praise. Mm-hmm. We should take advantage of our trials and tribulations by continuously, not sometimes, not when you want to, not only when things are going bad, not when all the bills are due, not when grandma is in the hospital with pneumonia. No, but we should give him praise continuously.
Amen.
And that's where the church is sadly lacking. It's sadly lacking.
Amen.
We're not giving God praise. We praise God on Sunday morning and we think, okay, I've done my praising. Or we got a worship CD on and we're going down the road and we're going, I worship you. That's not the kind of praise he wants.
Amen.
He wants the praise from your heart.
There you go.
Because when you're worshiping God, it's either your emotions that you're worshiping God with or you got your mind on someplace else. He wants all of you when you worship him. While we're facing, when we do this facing all that's here on the earth, it becomes a witness to the powers and principalities that we are sold out to God and that nothing can move us from that position, that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We have got to see ourselves, church. In other words, when your checking account, it shows bank, 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 you got to go, wait a minute, he will supply my needs. He will supply my needs. He will supply my needs. When a doctor gives you a report, it don't look so good. He will heal me. And you can't walk around thinking it may not happen. Now, there was a verse in your song that I wanted to correct. It says, I'll praise him again.
Amen.
Uh-uh. You don't stop praising him.
You
don't stop. That verse, that song, the way it's written, it implies that I stop praising him. No, I praise him continuously. I don't stop praising him. Even in the good times, even when everything is going fine, I continue to praise him. Now, this is a very simple message. It wasn't a bunch of shouting and carrying on. Maybe I did some shouting. I don't know. But the bottom line is this. You've got to understand that when you're going through your toughest trials, you got to learn to worship God. But if you don't learn to worship God when everything is going good, you won't worship God when things are going bad.
Amen.
You won't want to. Your flesh will not allow you to do it. But if you'll begin to worship God now, your flesh will realize, oh, this is what we do. And it will begin to bow down.
Amen.
You'll come to that brazen altar.
Mm-hmm.
And your flesh will stay at the brazen altar.
Mm-hmm.
And die, which is your living sacrifice, and you'll go beyond the veil, and God will show you and reveal his power, his mercy, his love, his grace, and everything else that you need, including finances.
Amen.
Any questions or comments about tonight? I'm gonna close right there. Does anybody need a touch from God tonight?